We're recording, so you need to.
Good evening, Council staff, ladies and gentlemen. We wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land we're meeting on, the Eora people. We would like to pay respect to the elders and the nation, past and present. We walk and care for the land. We acknowledge and respect the continuing culture and the contributions made to this region. Welcome, everyone, to the Shire Tutoring Annual Elected Meeting, Wednesday, the 4th of May, 2022. The purpose of the meeting is to receive the Shire's annual report and any other general business pertaining to the council. In accordance with the Local Government Administration Regulation 1996, Shire President, I will preside over this meeting. The procedures to be followed at this meeting are as follows. All present are required to sign the attendance register at the entrance of Wishaw Hall, including names and addresses. Please do so. Speakers must be electors of the Shire of Tutoring. The proceedings will be recorded for the purpose of production of the minutes, and speakers are requested to use the microphone each time they speak. No other audio or visual recording is to be undertaken without permission of the presiding member myself. The order of proceedings will be declaration of the meeting open, attendances, apologies, leaves of absence, confirmation of minutes for the annual general meeting of electors, 6th of February 2020. And the annual report 2020-2021, and then general business and closure. During general business, questions or statements may only relate to matters that affect the local government and will be accepted at the discretion of the presiding member. Motions from electors will be read out aloud by myself to ensure that everyone is clear about what they are voting on. I will call for a mover and a seconder for a motion. No motion or amendment is open to debate until it has been seconded. Only one amendment on any one motion shall be received at the time, and such amendment shall be disposed of before any further amendment can be received. But any number of amendments may be proposed. Upon a motion being proposed, the presiding member will call for speakers to address the chair. When addressing the meeting in person, the person is to raise and wait for the Shire officer to give you the microphone. State your name for recording in the minutes. Address the meeting through the person presiding. Limit questions, statements to fact, not opinion or supposition, and please be respectful. The mover of a motion, but not the mover of an amendment, has the right of reply, and this closes the debate. An elector may rise and move without discussion that the question now be put, which, on being duly seconded and carried by a majority, will result in the submission of the motion at once to the meeting after the mover has replied. I will then ask for a vote on the motion. Each elector has one vote. An elector does not have to vote, it's not compulsory voting. Voting is determined by a show of hands. A simple majority carries the vote. Minutes of this meeting will be available for inspection by members of the public as of the 18th of May 2020. Any motions arising from the meeting requiring action will be presented to the Ordinary Council, the Ordinary Meeting of Council on the 18th of May 2022. I note that decisions of this meeting are not binding on the Council, but as required by the Local Government Act 1995, the reasons for any Council decision of this meeting are to be recorded in the minutes of the Council meeting. Just a bit of housekeeping. During the meeting, no member of the public may interrupt the meeting proceedings or enter into conversation. Seems unlikely tonight. Members of the public shall ensure that their mobile phones or their audible equipment is switched off during the meeting, so thank you very much. Now, if you haven't had an opportunity to sign in, you can do so now. I'm sure that's been done. If that's fine, we'll move on to declaration. I declare the meeting open at 7:04. Item 2, record of attendances, apologies and approved leaders of absence. Attendances, you've all recorded your attendances, so thank you. Apologies, do we have any apologies? Thank you, Lynn. Well, no. Any other apologies? No further apologies. Approved leave of absence. I believe there are none. Item 3, confirmation of minutes of the annual general meeting of electors of 6th of February 2020. The office recommendation, obviously, is that the minutes of the annual general meeting of electors held on Thursday, the 6th of February, be confirmed as a true and correct record of proceedings. May I have a mover for the recommendation, please? Someone has to move it. Can we move that one? Chris Morley's moved. Seconder, please. Thank you. Can you state your name for the... Thanks, Jane. Chris, any you want to discuss the minutes? If there's no discussion and no one voting against the minutes, the motion, I will declare carried. Item 4 is reports. Item 4 is the annual report for the Shire of Tittering. The Office's recommendation is that the 2019-2020 annual report be presented. One minute. Apologies, we'll say that again, that the annual 2021 annual report be presented to the electors of the Shire of Tittering. Before I put the motion to the vote, I'd like to sort of give you an abridged version of the President's message that will also sort of bring up to date on some of the projects, because clearly the 2021 annual report is quite overdue, and so there are a lot of changes occurred between that issuance of that report and today. So on behalf of Council, I'm pleased to present the Shire of Tittering's annual report of 2020-2021 to the community. Due to delay in presenting this report, I'll provide some further feedback on the current status of the Shire's activities. First item is Council elections. The most recent local government elections were held on the 16th of October 21. With 9 candidates and 3 vacant positions. Support for many candidates and a voting turnout of just over 34% saw very close results, with myself and David Dewar newly elected councillors and Councillor Carmel Ross re-elected, all for a 4-year term expiring in October 2025. Council elected myself as President and Councillor Mary Angus as Deputy President during the Ordinary Council meeting of October 2021. I would like to thank the previous councillors for their willingness to serve the community, particularly their time and dedication is much appreciated. After several changes to council in the previous few years, we as a council remain unified in delivering the best outcome for our community going forward. Next item is the budget. The annual budget was adopted at a special meeting of council on 29th of July 2020. The budget was prepared during the COVID-19 pandemic, so budget considerations were made to accommodate financial hardship in these uncertain times. The budget reflected a 0 increase in rate in the dollar. Furthermore, no administrative fees were charged to ratepayers entering into a payment, an arrangement payment with the Shire, making flexible repayment arrangements more available to the community. Through our efforts, we hoped to build a good relationship with our residents and ensure that those willing to work with us can do so without any additional fees and charges. Council continues to allocate funds to reserves to secure the Shire's ability to meet its future financial commitments and fund key strategic projects. Council commences the budget briefing process this month for the current setting of the budget. 7 workshops have been scheduled to allow Council to develop the budget, with the aim being to present the final budget to Council for adoption by the end of June 22. Strategic Community Plan. In July 2020, a Strategic Community Plan adopted by Council back in 2017 underwent a comprehensive desktop review, incorporating feedback from 2 workshop sessions. Following the review, the format of the Strategic Community Plan was modified, but more importantly, the content and direction of the plan remain the same. This plan is now going through a full review with the current Council, and the Council has received the results of public consultation and has finalised the draft plan. This will go back to the community before being finalised and adopted by Council. Community advisory forums. The introduction of community advisory forums in Bindoon, Lower Chittering, Boucher and Wanamal aims to better inform the community of the Shire activities and the Council's strategic direction. Increasing the level of community engagement has and remains a priority for the Shire. However, unfortunately, due to COVID-19 pandemic and the ensuing restrictions, these forums were suspended. It is my pleasure to announce that the Shire will recommence these forums from mid-July 2022, and we trust these will be well attended, and we look forward to seeing you there. Lower Chittering Sport and Recreation Centre. In October 2020, Council decided not to proceed with the Building Better Regions Fund grant of $4.71 million to construct a sport and recreation centre in Lower Chittering. This was due to substantial changes, which included one investor pulling out with one third of the funding. This made the project no longer tenable in its form, as was previously agreed. In September last year, 2021, Council established the Lower Chittering Hall Replacement Reference Group, who have been working with the architects to develop a community hall facility at Lower Chittering site. The initial concept plans and costs will be presented to Council once the committee has signed off on the design documents. Boucher Recreation Centre. In March 2021, Council endorsed the funding of just over $2.7 million for the construction of a multi-purpose community facility at the Boucher Oval, with demolition of the old Boucher Hall to occur on completion of the new facility. The community groups have successfully raised some $680,000 in donations as their contributions to this development. The Boucher Recreation Centre Reference Group was established to refine the development to present options to Council for endorsement. This project has expanded into a site development project for the replacement of change rooms, club rooms, community hall and netball courts. Due to the current market conditions, shortage of materials and labour, particularly the escalating pricing, Council has identified 4 stages of the development to provide options should the tender pricing come back higher than can be funded by Council. Those 4 stages include Stage 1, change rooms; Stage 2, the club room and hall; Stage 3, replacement of the netball courts; and Stage 4, refurbishment of existing netball courts. The architects are currently completing the final design and preparation of the tender documentation. Tenders are expected to go to market in May and return in July. The tenders will be adjudicated and a recommendation made for the staging of the development. Mountain Bike Park. Mountain Bike Park and Adventure Park in Bindoon is currently being considered after the completion of the feasibility study in 2019 and various community engagement platforms. Lot 3874 Chinkaby Road, known as central to Bindoon, is in the process of being purchased, which will allow the development to proceed. Part payment for this land will come from the proceeds from the disposal of the property, Council property in Grey Road, which is a future, I guess, step Depot and lot 171 Vinton Place, the old bakery. In June 2020, Council requested public consultation on the plans and submitted a grant application for the Building Better Regions Fund in February 21. The Shire has been notified that it has been unsuccessful in the grant application. The steering group is continuing to investigate alternative development stages and funding options, including a scale-back option at considerably lower cost. Aged care. The Shire of Chittering engaged Verso Consulting to undertake a feasibility study for the provision of aged and disability care within the Shire catchment. This study incorporated a needs analysis to determine the age and disability care needs within the Shire, including current and future requirements for in-home aged and disability care, respite care, residential aged care facility and alternative aged care options. Council is currently assessing the final report and determining the next steps, and Council looks forward to discussing the next steps with the community in due time. Container scheme. In March 2020, Council signed the refund point agreement for the container deposit scheme. This scheme will result in additional income for the Boucher waste site due to the handling fee of 6 cents per container. There will be limited capital costs associated with setup of a refund point. This will be covered by the current waste site budget. Depending on how much the refund point is used, additional staffing may be required in peak times, but this is expected to be covered by the funds received to process containers. With pleasure, I can advise you that the container deposit scheme is now functioning well and receiving good support from the community, so thank you very much. So to conclude this, Council's emphasis on governance, efficiency and transparency has improved. Committees and Council better reflect the emphasis on division of powers and clarification of roles. Practices have improved, and a series of reviews of practice, policy and delegations are ongoing. Transparency is foremost and evident in audio recordings of Council meetings, names being recorded against votes, and a reduction in confidential business. Thank you to the Chief Executive Officer, Matthew Kilfallon, and his staff for the dedication and commitment. It is not always visible to the community how much work staff do behind the scenes, so I hope the community will join me in acknowledging this. Thank you also to my fellow councillors for your time commitment. I aim to build and foster strong working relationships and strengthen the existing foundations to deliver a more transparent and accountable council and Shire for our ratepayers. However, none of this really has any effect unless the community has interest, it provides feedback, discussion and attendance at advisory forums and meetings such as these, such that council can continue to service the community needs. The role of council is to facilitate the community's needs. So the community needs to play a greater role in advocating their own needs to council. With that said, I shall go back to the motion. The officer's recommendation is that the 2020-21 annual report be presented to the electors of the Shire. May I have a mover for that motion? Thank you. John Nagle. May I have a seconder? Thank you, Lee. John, do you wish to talk to that motion? Thank you, John. Is there any further discussion on the motion? If there's no further motion, I'll put the officer's recommendation to the vote. All those in favour? Declare declare that carried by majority. Thank you very much. Moving on now to general business. General business gives the ratepayers an opportunity to ask questions, to present motions of council. So please, as discussed, the floor is yours for questions.
Good evening, everyone. I'm a little bit concerned. You talk about openness and accountability. That's fine, but I think we're really lacking in one of the major ideals that the Shire has. On the back of the wall as you walk into the Shire building, it says there various things, and down the bottom, effective communication. Well, I think that will have to be removed because we don't have effective communication. You talk about things on Facebook, etc. I find, and as you know, I'm quite well informed on what's happening throughout the community. I was totally unaware of this meeting tonight. So I know I've been dropped off the chatter list for some reason, whatever it is. And I know that you've been hamstrung, the CO's been hamstrung with a reduced budget as far as staff for that, but we're not communicating with the community. And I think the turnout here tonight indicates that, and it's something that really needs to be addressed in your budget and arrangements, because whilst you're trying to do all these other good things, the community are not aware of this, these things that are happening.
Thank you for your question, Chris. I'll just refer to the Chief Executive Officer to just remind us where and the electors' meeting was published, but I certainly saw it on Facebook, chatter and a few other places. But we do agree. We do agree that we've struggled with communication, whether we use Facebook, we use chatter, we use Northern Valley use, we struggle. It has been a common problem for a long time. We are trying to work better ways out to communicate with the community, and those advisory forums are one of those mechanisms to try to improve that communication. So, if the community can provide more feedback on where they're looking for their information and what they're not seeing, then that would help guide how we go forward in terms of trying to get that communication out.
There are some 38 various clubs and organisations within this community that are effectively communicated to via Lisa and Alison. None of this communication came through then, which contact a huge number of people in the community. None of that came through that particular field, and it's just an email communication via their platform. I feel confident that would be, that's a simple and easy way. 38 clubs.
Can I just ask the Chief Executive Officer just to respond to the platforms we're currently using to communicate with?
So most of our communication, we do have the monthly newsletter, but through the Northern Valley News and Facebook are probably our primary. So Facebook, I think we're up over 2,500 followers, which for a shire of 6,000 isn't too bad. It's a fair amount of our population. The downside of Facebook is when something goes out, unless it's really picked up and liked, it doesn't go too far. So we have been looking more at probably putting a bit more money into trying to spread the messages that need to get out there, but certainly things like electors' general meetings, often because there isn't that interaction with it, it doesn't spread as far. We do use the club's newsletter mainly for the club-based business. That's why it's set up. We do find, and it's certainly not all the clubs, but generally as much as we can get information to the executive or the one or two people that receive it at the club, often it's then not distributed out to the members of the club. So I'm not saying that's all of them, but it does happen a fair amount. So, and I know we do often ask the question, where are you hearing your information? And most of the replies come back as where we're advertising it as well. So that becomes a struggle. Council did put in money for a part-time communications officer. We recently advertised for that position, but unfortunately didn't have anyone apply for it, so we'll have to go out and re-advertising for that position again. So hopefully once that comes in, it will be a little bit better. We did find probably over COVID, COVID can be blamed for a lot of things, but just things getting busy has meant, because the way we currently communicate is a little bit of a lot of officers' time, as they get busy, that's the bit that tends to fall off a little bit. So it probably has dropped down over the last few months as well.
Mr. Chairman, my name's Lee Martin. Just quickly, the idea of this financial dashboard, congratulations, very good idea. And it reflects pretty well. The only thing it doesn't reflect is any of council borrowings. And generally when you're dealing with anyone about finances, it's all right to have all this money around the place and cash flow and all that, but they like to know what sort of monies you owe before you go any further. So I'm just wondering whether that could be squeezed into that page. That's the first question.
So, good point, Lee. There was a resolution at last month's ordinary council meeting that included that component. So the financial dashboard is going to be published quarterly, and it will include the borrowings and the principal and interest repayments.
Thank you for that. We're talking about the same thing. I agree with what Chris has got to say there, but I'm just a bit concerned at the turnout here tonight. I hope this doesn't reflect the thoughts of the community that are going to get this money spent down here on improving the facilities and considerable sums. I thought there'd be more interest in coming along and perhaps finding out or hearing a bit about it. So that's just an observation. But it sometimes gets a bit concerning. You know, there's going to be a few million dollars spent here on these facilities. I thought there'd be more interest. The next thing is, I notice in a lot of subdivisions and things happening, they don't really reflect on the history of our district. There's a lot of old-timers that were around. I'm probably getting to that stage now, but long before me. And some of those places perhaps should be, the street names should reflect a little bit somehow of some of those, our pioneering families here. We lose our heritage a little bit that way. So I'd like to think that council can perhaps, it might be through Chris's group or some group, that they actually have some input into that, because it's a pretty precious thing. Right, and...
Can I just... I do know that street names aren't sort of within the remit of council, but I have Chief Executive Officer just reply to that.
Yeah, so street names, when we go through the process, it's not necessarily us that suggests the names, but ultimately the powers with the Geographic Names Committee, and they have quite a lengthy manual. I think it runs to about 150-odd pages, and about 20-odd pages has got to do with naming street names. We do run into the problem where there are a lot of rules about what you can and can't do. So, number one, anyone alive, you can't name a street after them. So, unless it's a pioneering family that has now no longer has names in the area, or you can't actually do that. The other one that we really run into problems with and we're really struggling to find street names is that any shires within, I think it's 50 kilometres, you're not allowed to have any street names that are either the same or similar sounding. And so for that, for us, that includes Swan and Wanneroo. So if you consider the amount of roads and streets in Swan and Wanneroo, so if you have a Martin Road in Tapping, you can't have a Martin Road in Chittering, for example. which makes it really difficult. So we went through it with when the highway was realigned and what is now propagation way, we wanted to, after some initial back and forwards, the idea that the landowners there were happy with was Lulfitz, to name after the nursery there, but that got rejected. So that's why it ended up as a propagation way to reflect the history there a little bit, but keeping within the names of them. So there have been other initiatives. So a few of those names are named after local springs. And so I know it may not be the pioneers, but when you go back further into the history, it's named after them. You've also got ones such as the Industrial Park, who have Mercury Rise, and there's a couple of others, and that's to reflect the history of Mouche with obviously the satellite talking to John Glenn when he went over. So that's, I think, the Canaveral Way as well is another one. So that's to reflect a bit of the history in Mouche as well.
Yeah, thanks for that, Matthew. It's just generally when the bureaucrats get involved in the city, they don't have much thought towards our local people and our local residents and people who are the forebearers who have actually done something here in this community. My final question, in the planning of all this here and whatever's happening, has any consideration been given to acquiring the old school site on the eastern side of this and probably closing down portion of Carl Street to expand these facilities? Because what invariably happens, Bindoon, now if you spin someone around twice, the oval's that small. It never used to be that small, but you get something poked in a corner here, something poked in a corner there, and it's getting smaller and smaller. So if in your planning, even if it was a car park or you could expand the oval or whatever you wanted to do, I think it'd be worth an approach. I have mentioned it before, but I don't know whether it's been taken seriously. But in view of what you're trying to build here, I think it needs that taken into consideration. That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Any further questions? John Nagle.
John Nagle, Bindoon. My question goes back to a motion that was moved last year in July 20. Mr. President, back in July 2020, Councillor Osborne and Councillor Ross put a motion up, and it reads like this. I'll read the motion out. Councillor Osborne moved, Councillor Ross seconded, that Council directs the Chief Executive Officer to facilitate and preparation of an independent, comprehensive feasibility study to include all options available for providing age and disability care in tutoring. That's number one. Funding for the study is covered in the budget. Number two, this is the one that I've got concern with, complete the Bindoon Master Plan as a matter of urgency, taking into account the potential need to allocate an area of land for aged care and disability. Now, I don't understand why that motion was even put up. When you go back into your paperwork there, in your local government, the Shire of Local Government strategy was endorsed by the West Australian State Planning Commission back in October 2019, and it clearly states in there, I'll read out what it says in there, and it's an 80-page report, and I suggest that all councillors get it and read it, because it's got a lot of information in there that we seem to be duplicating. This is on page 8 in that report. An ageing population will increase the demand of social services and services such as public transport, age-friendly recreation and leisure, and affordable housing and accommodation. Although there's a current shortfall in age facilities and accommodation in the Shire, Bindoon has recently improved its facilities with the development of the Tutoring Community Medical Centre and additional age accommodation and associated community facilities are to be built next to the medical centre. Now, the Ratepayers Association, Mr. President, we've been trying to get an answer out of the Shire for near on 4 years to where the aged care facility was going to go. The decision's already been made. It says clearly in that report. to go directly behind the medical centre. So I find a bit of a loss to why we're duplicating everything again. I suggest that the councillors get that report and read it. It's got a lot of value. It's 80 pages, but it's got a lot of valuable information in it.
Thank you, John. Your comments are timely. You know, as you're aware, the feasibility study by Verso has been, the final report has been issued, and council is currently looking at how it's going to proceed. And there should be something in this month's ordinary council meeting in that regard to provide some guidance of council's intention and also in the way in which it intends to go about furthering the provision of aged care and services in Chittering. So it has been a long haul, and I appreciate the frustration from the community, but we're at that point now. We're armed with all the information. There's no excuses now. We need to act and decide what we want to do going forward. So good point to pick up that master plan, but one of the things council will have to consider going forward is what contributions it may want to make for any development that may occur in the Shire of Chittering, whether it's Bindoon or other. So we're all, you know, in the forefront of council's mind. So we'll review that previous report.
Thanks, Mr. President. I'd like to move a motion. I don't know whether it's worth it. I mean, there's 12 councillors and staff here and only 6 or 8 residents. It's a bit of a disappointment, but I'd like to move a motion that the land behind the medical centre be used for aged care persons' accommodation and facilities as it set out in the local planning strategy 2019, on page 8. I'll put that motion up.
Thank you, John. That's quite clear, that motion. The motion is that the land behind the Chittering Health Campus be used for aged care, in a nutshell. So, John, would you like to move that motion? Thank you, John. A seconder for the motion, please. Thank you. Lee Martin. John, do you wish to talk any further to that motion?
No, Mr. President. Sorry.
I think it's self-explanatory. When you read that 80-page report, I mean, we've been going around in circles for near on 4 years, not getting an answer from anybody. And I think it's well and truly overdue. When you start going back through the paperwork, it goes right back to 2013, 2015, 2017, and they're talking about aged care. We've got to do something about it. Now, this guy that you used to do this report up, it's my understanding he did one in 2013. I haven't found that. But he's also done a report from the Wheatbelt Development on aged care. And he's a full bottle on it. He knows what he's talking about. And I'm just grateful that the Shire's decided to listen to him, because it's as blind as, you know, it's as plain as the nose on your face that it's got to happen. I mean, there's people that are moving out of Bindoon now. I know of about 7 people up there that have got dementia, and they've got to move out. Now, if this had been done back in 2015, 2017, those people could have been still here. There's an opportunity, and I've been saying this for nearly 3 years, there's an opportunity for this Shire to open their eyes and create an industry out of aged care. And that's what this guy's got in his report. And I said that long before you got that report from him. But no one would listen.
Thanks, John. Ali, do you wish to make any comment?
Just quickly, thanks, Mr. President. I get bemused. 2019 was this study. All of a sudden, in early 2022, we're doing another one. What do these damn things cost? We're going back and forward and round in circles and not getting anywhere. It just seems to be, I don't know, put in the too hard basket, or let's stall that by calling for another typical bureaucracy, I think. It's just out of control a little bit. So I'd like to think the 2019 report was done quite well and probably should treat that as the guidelines to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Is there any further discussion? You have a right of reply, John, if you want to exercise that. Thank you, John. That being said, I'll put the motion to the vote. All those in favour of the motion? I declare carried, a majority. Thank you, John.
Mr. President, I've got another one when you're ready.
Let's hear it, John.
Has the Shire got a full costing on the Musha and Lower Chittering sporting projects? As most of you are aware, the 2J Shire has built a sporting complex. The starting cost was $11.6 million. That was when the Chittering Shire was costing the Lower Chittering project 3 years ago. The president of the 2J Shire was on the radio the other day, and the total costing for that project is just over $20 million. Now, have we got a total costing on both of our projects, or are we going to go down the same road as what 2J's done and spent an 80% blowout? Well, it's in more than 80% blowout. So we haven't got full costings on the two projects?
So let me just answer your question first, John. On the Musha redevelopment, there are full costings on the development, as I discussed previously, based on four stages. They are also producing a pre-tender estimate that sits behind the tender process. So the tender will go out, the pricing will come back, and we'll compare those pricings against the pre-tender estimate, and then ultimately council will have to make a decision as to how they want to stage that development based on what they can afford. So yes, historically it started out at $650,000 council contribution, it then went to $2.7 million, and the total project costs are running around, let me just check the numbers, around $5 million, plus a little bit more for the fourth stage. So we're aware a lot of hard work's been done, particularly on the Musha development, to be very careful that we have confidence in the costs that have been produced. And this is why this has taken a bit longer to get this development to the point of going out to tender. So we're trying not to repeat the mistakes of past, but ultimately we won't know the pricing until the tenders come back. And it's only then will then council be able to make a decision, particularly on Musha, on which stages it will go forward with. So that's the reason why it was structured in that format. In relation to Lower Chittering, there is a reference group. They've been working with the architects, and they have come up with a concept, and they've come up with a price. So we will follow the same due diligence and process that we've done with Musha, with the Lower Chittering, and so that we are confident that the pricing is correct. Our biggest challenge remains the current market conditions, for which we have no control. So, as you're aware, with the shortage of resources, if we can get competitive tenders, that'll be good. But you know, I'm personally expecting the pricing to come back quite high, but again, we won't know. So to reassure you, we've learnt from previous mistakes. We're working hard to make sure we fully cost our projects, and yes, they cost money to do that level of work. So you can't cost a project unless you've done some design. Until you've done some design, you then do some estimating. So I'm confident that when we publish costs, you should have confidence that they are the costs. Now, if in the course of the project we change the scope, then the cost changes, but we have to communicate that to the community as changes occur.
Thank you.
Okay, any further questions?
Mr. President, is there any conflict in allocation of land or land use between the community's desire for aged care living, independent living, whatever name we want to put on that area, and such projects as bike parks and the like? I think the question has been asked in the motion put previously, trying to lock in that land. Is it a clear thing that there is a reasonable parcel of land available there without conflict on it?
Look, there can be some conflict between an aged care facility, for want of a better word, that would sit behind the medical centre versus the mountain bike park. But at the end of the day, council will have to make a decision either way. So if council decides to proceed with the mountain bike on a different format, it would need to take due consideration of what council may want to do with aged care facilities. So at the moment, there's not a conflict in that nothing has been, agreed. So the opportunity still exists for council to make land available for aged care and still have access to the mountain bike park project. But you're correct, there may well need to be a compromise between the land uses there.
So, Twine Brown again. Just to follow up on that then, when the conversation is occurring about the Shire getting involved in aged care, let's just label it as that, and I don't want to be technical about what aged care means, because there's specific names that appear to be going with specific types of development. But what is it the Shire sees that it can do? And if I say from my side, I'm thinking the community wants the Shire to allocate some land. To suggest that this zone is for this type of development, this zone is for this type of development. And it's not that the Shire is building the development, but the land, like an industrial park, you're allocating land and saying this is the size of block, these are the services that would be available to it, and that you then invite members of the public to build something. And these are the guidelines which you want built because you've established a style for the area. Is that the sort of thing that is in the Shire's thinking, or are you thinking that you have to build the facility?
Look, I can't speak for all of council because we haven't deliberated on the way forward for aged care in particular. But, you know, from the report from Verso, it is quite clear that, you know, it wouldn't be wise for council to try and build an aged care facility or operate it. It's not our business. We don't know how to do it. It would probably be destined to failure, to be honest. So the recommended approach is to facilitate a third-party service provider to build, own and operate a facility, a multi-service facility that would probably extend from independent living all the way through to high-dependency care. So that is at a very high level is what the concept looks like. And so council would have to agree on that concept and endorse that concept, and they would also have to decide what contributions it would make to encourage investment by these service providers. So, for example, as you suggested, would council offer up a parcel of land and whatever was in council's disposal could possibly offer to incentivise that development. But all of those are subject to discussion by council. It's very current, that discussion. It is happening now and into the future. So it's the right time to be talking about it. And at those times, if there is land use conflict with the mountain bike, then council needs to decide its priorities. So there is a Bindoon master plan, and it, and it's probably largely out of date. These things, as you come up with a master plan, are usually out of date, you know, next week, because priorities change. So, you know, I can assure you going forward, Council will make those two considerations around the land use side of it. So hopefully that gives you, answers your question.
Can we just ask the CEO, are you able to clarify for us, is there sufficient land there for the mountain bike park and an area behind the medical centre for some version of aged care?
I can't really clarify because it would depend on what version of aged care. So, like, if you're talking about a higher level facility, I'm not sure of the land requirements. So, obviously, we did a feasibility study to see whether it was feasible, but it didn't go into the details of how much land is exactly required. So, there's been some planning about around a mountain bike trailhead, but you can't determine how much land's needed. So, up until that question is answered, I wouldn't know how it can all fit together.
Mr. President, just to comment on that, there's a nursing home that's just been built down in Kalamunda. They got 160 beds on just under 5 acres. So 10 acres block up there would be quite adequate, more than adequate, to do the independent living and your residential aged care. I think we're trying to find excuses again. Like before, we were talking about there's no sewerage, there's no water. We're not hearing about that now because there's other avenues. I mean, I did some homework on the water situation back in 2007. Yes, they said there was only enough water to accommodate 50 houses in Bindoon, but you look up a Hansard report that Shane Love and the National Party put to government back in 2014, and they're saying in there there's enough water being allocated to Bindoon for 165 residents. So I think there's been a few Murphys put around there just to try and to block the aged care. I think we've got to be proactive, get on, roll our sleeves up. There's a company in Queensland that I've done some homework on that can cater for 400 people with a recyclable unit, potable water at the end of it for around $600,000. So there's your sewage system gone out of the equation. So you just got to be open-minded and look at the situation. Instead of trying to find negatives, we've got to try and find positives. Thank you.
Thanks, John. I guess the point we're making is that you know, Council are considering all these options, and there's nothing precluding at this point the aged care facility, as you rightly so. 5 to 10 acres is not a lot of land in that area. But it's a matter of we haven't planned the two at the moment. So going forward, this is the process that will occur before Council can obviously go out to market and potentially look for expressions of interest for provision of aged care facilities, if you like. But rightly so. But things have changed, and the technology is there for sewerage. We accept that. There are no barriers, John. We will actively pursue both the aged care facility and the mountain bike park, and we'll have to weigh up our priorities. Again, we're not funding, we have no intention of funding the aged care facility, but we will make some considerations to help encourage the investment. But that will be a decision of Council. So I agree, I appreciate your frustrations, how long it's taken to get this point, and, you know, I'm dedicated to trying to drive this process forward for the best outcome of the community. Now, whatever we do, there will be a process. Now, what comes out of that process, I have no idea. If we go out and we have no expressions of interest, then there's your answer, John. We can't, you know, that's it. We can't go no further. Remember, we did try with Retirees WA for independent living, and that they just failed to develop that site. So not like we haven't tried, but yes, it's been a while. Twan, any further from you, Twan?
Yeah, Twan Brown again. I know we're not supposed to make comment, but I'm going to, because you're saying it's about the community and what can we do for the community. doing the aged care, in quotes, is something for the community. The bike park's not. It's not for this community. Now, does the Shire, does the council see it differently? Do they believe that a development like the bike park is for the Chittering community? Can I ask that as a question, though? But are we thinking that it's a community thing, whereas we've got a community big topic sitting here? Which one should we be addressing? Does that form a question?
I guess it does. I'm not quite sure how... I can't answer on behalf of individual councillors. I mean, everyone's entitled to a view. They each have a vote. I think council has resolved to pursue the mountain bike park pending funding. So if funding isn't forthcoming, then obviously the mountain bike project won't proceed. The chief executive officer and the committee are looking at a scaled-down version. But again, that scaled-down version would still need to come to council to be endorsed. And at that time, council would need to make a decision given the other priorities. So I don't know whether that answers your question, whether you want an individual response to from each councillor. I can ask if councillors want to respond.
I believe we can do both projects, and the aged care is for aged people and the mountain bikes for young people. We've got to look after both, and I think we can do that. And there's 40% of people of the population, they ride bikes. And also, it's not only bike people, hikers, and it's just recreation. Instead of spending $3 million on an oval, you can spend $3 million on a bike park. It's still recreation. That's the way I look at it.
Thank you, Twan. John?
Through the chair, Mr. President. Have all the councillors read that Verso report from front to back, the 80-page report?
Yes, we've read it and we've been briefed by Doug from Verso as well.
Okay. Can I ask the question through the chair, Mr. President? How many of the members here in the gallery have read the report or are aware of it?
Sorry, I missed that last bit.
How many of the members in the gallery here are aware of that report and have read it? Chris, have you read it?
I'm aware.
Yeah. Well, I haven't read it for a month or so, but in the back of it there, he claims that for around about an 80-bed unit, you stand, correct me if I'm wrong, it's going to bring about $950,000 a year into the community and employ about 85 people, and that's what we need. We need an industry. We need revenue into the community. And you can build it, a retirement village in the community with people moving in that are going to want to buy a house and look after the elderly in the aged care facilities. We just got to take our blinkers off and look at the big picture. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, just one quick question from me. Has the land for the proposed mountain bike track been purchased at this stage?
A contract sale has been signed. We're still waiting on the surveyors to peg it out because that's required for the subdivision for the sale to finish going through. So we've been waiting probably well over 6 months, and I know they've recently been saying they're very COVID affected. Part of their workforce was doing the quarantine facility, all those kind of things. So it's just the way things have gone.
So it hasn't been paid for at this stage?
You normally pay for land when you receive the land, so we've got a contract to sale that locks in the purchase, but we pay for it when the handover happens.
Thank you.
John.
Has there been a deposit?
Sorry.
Through the chair, Mr. President, has there been a deposit paid on that block? Yep. So there's been a money transaction on that contract. Okay, thank you.
John, I'd just like to make a point. At the end of the day, council's here to represent the community. The community must come out and talk to its councillors about what it wants and what it doesn't want. We've tried to engage through various forums, through the strategic development plan, which is meant to reflect the long-term strategic vision so that meets the community's needs. But we do need more engagement with the community, and I agree, this turnout is just not good enough. And for whatever reason, I can't say what the reason is, because I don't know. I mean, I know about it, but I know it's advertised as well. I can't say whether a lot of people just don't care. I don't know, John. But again, council is the facilitator of the community. If the community's not facilitating and they're giving their views to council, it makes it very difficult for us to balance all the different competing needs. So we do, and we acknowledge as a council, we need to get more engagement out of the community. And we've seen the community come together when there's a contentious issue, like just pick something like Lower Tittering, Bell Hill. Everyone comes out of the woodwork. But we need them to come out on everyday issues and future issues and strategic issues. Otherwise, it makes our job very difficult, and then we get called into question when we're pursuing a project over one over another. And because, of course, we go out through an extensive public consultation process, but we don't ever, in any of these processes, get a lot of response, to be quite honest. It's very low.
Just ask a question of whoever might know the answer. In regards to the mountain bike park, I believe there is already a mountain bike group has been formed. Can you give us an idea how many members it has?
I think at last time I saw it, there was probably over 230 members of the mountain bike club. So they're all local people, so not people from outside the Shire. And I know there's a lot of kind of local interest of people riding it. The trail's set up with a long loop trail, so that's both riding and walking, and then, all the on-floor effects from that as well. So there's a fair bit of local interest of people who will be directly benefiting, and probably more so than some of our other recreation facilities and the numbers that use those.
The response to the mountain bike park, I think it was over 384 people. They were all local. I know, because I checked them all, right? They were all local. They all said positive. So yes, there is that many people in our community who responded to the survey, but that still is only 380 out of the rest. This is the same problem we have, is sometimes the squeaky wheel gets the oil, and we have to balance, try and meet the total project community need. So it is a challenge. It's not easy. If everyone came out and provided the feedback, well, then we'd have a lot more basis to make more informed decisions that balances across the entire Shire. But unfortunately, as I discussed, we struggle to get that constructive feedback. All right, if there's no further questions, thank you very much. Item 6, I'll hereby declare the meeting closed at 8:03, and I hope you can stay around after the meeting and we can talk a bit further on any issues that you have. All of council is available if you wish to discuss them. Thank you.